Blog Talk Radio.
Which dwells
right. Amen. 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 We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say Shabbat Shalom, family. I pray that you have had a blessed day, that you have gotten the prescribed rest, or that you have been busy before the Most High or out doing good. For this is the day that Yah has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is the Shabbat, and I am also thankful. Every week, this is the highlight of my week, observing his Sabbath. So I pray that everybody has been doing well on today, and that you're ready to eat from the Word of the Most High. As I said, we're going to still be in this, the Elohim of Blood Covenant, until we get through with this covenant. So however many series this takes, that's what it will be. But it will be recorded, and each and every person will be able to go back and pull and review, download, and do whatever with it. We want to do this with a gladness in our heart because it is preparing. Making up words now, it's preparing us for the end times and to be the elect of the Most High, to be in right relationship with Him, to understand what we have signed on to and to sign on to it with all that we have and all that we are. We definitely need to do this. Everyone needs to do this who says that they're in relationship with Him. There's no way that we can be in a relationship and not understand the terms of the relationship, nor can we be making it up, our part of it up, when we really haven't been given a say in it except for to say yes, Yah, or no, Yah. So we've got to understand that He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to where we cannot be deceived by the adversary. And we know He's already written that the world will be deceived. And if it were possible, He would deceive the very elect of the Most High. So we know that this man that is coming, who probably is already in the world, is very cunning. He's very sly. He's seductive on a lot of levels. And so he's going to seduce the world and make them think that he's an angel of peace. The people of the Most High have to be ready for that. And the only way we're going to be ready for that is to know what we're in, understand it, and be committed to it. So let us start this afternoon off. So I want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk and Pal Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, on the African continent, on the European continent, wherever you may be in the world. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name by where men must be saved. And you must be saved in that name or the name of Jesus Christ, not bucking that name, just prefer his Hebrew name. That being said, we have September New Moon service coming up. We have the Feast of Tabernacles coming up. We have the Feast of Trumpets coming up, the Day of Atonement, all these feast days in September. And we want to be prepared for them, and we want to be, you know, right before the Most High, that we can enter into his feast days, you know, with an innocent spirit, with a guiltless spirit, you know, not having, knowing that we've been running around sinning, but that we have been drawing closer to him. We want to be able to go boldly before the throne of grace. So these days are coming up, and we want to, I'll start giving the dates specifically and announcing it with the broadcast. I send them out in the email and in the try to send them out in the text message as well. but I'll start announcing them on the broadcast as well so that we can be prepared to celebrate the feast days that the Most High has set to celebrate, and to celebrate them in a fashion that brings him honor, that does his feast days justice. You know, that is, they're about him. They're about his accomplishments and the things that he's done or is going to do for us. So we don't want to take those things lightly, and we do want to observe them in the proper light, that we would honor him in them. You may have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this afternoon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you, Father. We love you and we lift you up. We extol you. We extol you, Father. We magnify thee. We lift you up. We glorify your name. Because truly you are worthy, Father. You are worthy. You are worthy of all our praise. You and you alone are worthy, Father. You and you alone will we bow down to. You and you alone will we sing praises to. You and you alone will we worship, Father. You are our Elohim, Father. We are your people. Hallelujah. We will give you your just right. What you are due, Father, you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Father, we just honor you on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wickedness. And Father, we are repenting of our evil ways, and we're turning from our wickedness, and we're turning towards you. Father, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, that all that you should call should come and obey your voice and keep your statutes, laws, and commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we pray that you would hear our prayers and our supplications and deliver us from this captivity and give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them into the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, and in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
How to reach my family, how to reach the sea, yes I am. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, giving children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15 from 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years for disobedience. We bear the shame. We bear the shame.
Israel been asleep for so long. We can't tell which way we going, right or wrong. Pouring to the sun, got in the churches on the first day. Calling on Jesus who threw the law away. This led to 400 years of oppression and depression. Should we by now have learned our lesson? Shackles are off, but our minds in a deceptive state. What do you think is gonna be our end state? Delay.
How to reach my family. How to reach the seed of Israel. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, giving children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15, 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant. that we would badly ashamed. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years of disarray and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying. He lost his name. 400 years, 400 years, 400 years. We've been the tail and not the head. The scripture says 400 years, 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemies. Bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying.
We blind up in Babylon, hate is getting whipped on. Still practice voodoo while we sing that Obama song. Before we arrive to the kingdom, must come out of her. Spiritually and physically, wean ourselves from her. We must believe in Yah and accept no trash from her. Mystery Babylon, the wickedness she be on. Man, our people minds gone, suicidal brains blown. However, Yah is in control, we must stay whole and be strong. And join the fold, this is not a show. Bump this in your whip, turn off the radio.
Drawing up to the time. Drawing up to the time. 400 years. Everything
I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scripture. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most high, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. You mean
All right. The book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 17. This is where we left off at this morning. The book of Exodus, chapter 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't covet anything that your neighbor have. Don't be trying to scheme to get it. Don't be, you know, envious of them. Don't be hold them in high esteem because they might have more than you, or they might have something that you want. Just don't want their things. Be satisfied with what you have. Live the life that Elohim wants you to live, and the blessings will come to you without you even doing anything. He will just bless you. He will give you favor. He will give you the desire of your heart if you obey his voice and keep his commandments. So don't covet anything that your neighbors have. Be satisfied with what you have of your own. Now, this is what Moses was telling the people, and this is what, actually, this is the Most High speaking to the people at this time. Not Moses telling them this. The Most High is on top of the mountain, on top of Mount Sinai. The people heard the thunderings. Let's read verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed instead of far off. They heard the voice of the Most High because the Most High told Moses, I'm going to let the people hear me talk to you so that they know that I talk to you and that they will fear you and fear me. And so the people have heard this, and they see the lightning, they hear the thundering, and they are afraid. Verse 19, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. Now they have a fear of the Most High in them at this point. But it's not the type of fear that he's looking for to be in them. Whole other story. Let's continue. And Moses said unto people, fear not. Now, the Most High wanted them to fear. Now, why Moses was telling them to fear not, I really got no clue. Because the Most High told Moses, I want them to fear me. I want them to have a fear that they sin not. But Moses tells them, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that you sin not. Now, I would, you know, I don't know if I would have told them to fear not. But, you know, Moses has a certain relationship with the Most High, and he wants the people to have that same relationship. But the people are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. We already know this. They don't want to be close. You know, you tell us what he says, Moses. You go talk to him. We'll be over here. So the fear factor worked enough that they didn't want to approach the Most High, but it did not work to the point that they didn't want to worship the gods that they brought with them from Egypt. Verse 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where Elohim was. And Yah said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you Elohims of gold. So another commandment. Don't covet anything that is your neighbor. Don't make to yourselves gods of silver and gold. Don't make unto yourself, you already said, don't make unto yourself anything, an image of anything in the heavens or in the earth or under the earth that you're going to bow down to. Like it is an Elohim, like it's a God. Now he's specifically telling them, hey, now you heard me speak from heaven above. You heard me speak to Moses. So, you know, the people heard this. Moses is coming back to reiterate with them. Don't make you gods of silver and gold. Now, as I said, within 30 days, when you study this thing out, before 30 days of being told this, our forefathers made a golden calf. Moses is up on the mountain. We don't know what happened to Moses. He's been gone almost 30 days. He's been gone almost 40 days. We don't know what's become of him. Aaron, make us a golden calf. in less time than a month. So we got to understand that this wickedness has been in us from the beginning. The Most High wants us to be prepared, and he wants us to be ready in these last days. He wants us to hear his voice and to obey it. Obey him and not break his covenant by transgressing his commandments. Don't break the covenant. Don't break the contract that you and I have together. It won't go well for you. Verse 23 again. You shall not make me, you shall make, not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you Elohims or gods of gold. An altar of earth shall thou make unto me. Now this is also a commandment, part of our worship toward him. Hear what he says. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, and all the places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. So he'd already told them going into the promised land before they went in. He's going to tell Joshua to make sure that they understand. Tear down all those altars in the high places. Tear down all those asherim, those forests, those groves that they grow to their Elohims. Burn up everything that they worship. Don't make other gods unto you, and don't do it every place like they do it. Don't do it on top of every hill and in every valley. Only the place where I come and put my name. That's where you're going to worship me at. You're not going to pick a spot that seems right to you. I'll tell you where to meet me at. Instead of you just picking some place. Oh, this looks like a good place. Let me put an altar right here. Let me burn some incense right here. Let me make a sacrifice right here. No, Elohim said, the place where I put my name, that's the only place you're going to do it. And if thou will make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it with hewn or cut stone. It's another law. If you're going to build me an altar, make sure it's made out of earth. And if you're going to make it with stones, make sure that the stones don't have a tool that's come on them. Because you use a tool on it, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. It is unclean. Now, if the Most High is that way about his altar, he's that way about everything. That's why he says, if you obey my voice and break not my covenant, then you shall be a holy nation unto me. That word holy is the same thing as clean. Sanctified, set apart, undefiled. This is what he's saying even about his altar. Don't use a tool. You can't use an axe on it. You can't use a pick on it. You can't use a saw on it. You can't use a hammer on it. Go around and get the natural stones. They just fell down by themselves. They're in the ground. If you don't have to use a tool on it, that's what you want. And build an altar to me. If you put any tool on it, you put any mortar on it, you put a nail in it, anything like that, you have polluted it. It is unclean to me. So he never changed that. All right. Verse 26, neither shalt thou go up the steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be discovered thereon. Because the altar's up high. You got on this little tunic or whatever, behind hanging out, don't do it. I'll make a way. The altar's going to be designed such that you don't have to climb the steps from the public view to get to it. So people be looking up under your little tunic and see all your little groceries. I don't want that. So don't do it. That's a law. So, you know, I've seen, you know, in churches where they have the pulpit up high. It's up on a stage. You got steps, but then you got people who are supposed to be in ministry and they're wearing skirts that I've seen it where, hey, that wasn't appropriate, especially for you to be up in that pew. So the Most High, he wants our thoughts always to be pure. He wants our thoughts always to be focused on him. And so we have to do things that allow us to obey his voice. All right, let's continue. Exodus chapter 21. Remember, these are the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the covenant. And so everything in here that we're reading at this time, in this place, at that time, and when they're receiving them, this is what they would have to have obeyed. All the way up until the time of Messiah. And then very little things, few things changed in the new covenant. So when we're reading these things, you know, we might say, well, hey, how does that apply? We can't do anything with the temple. So that wouldn't apply right now except for we are to keep ourselves holy because it says we are the temple. And until he reinstitutes the building, the third tabernacle, the third temple, until he reinstitutes it as at his return, then some of these are not going to apply to us today. We're not going to be making animal sacrifices for sin. We're not going to be making animal sacrifices for anything today. Because we'll read in this law that it was, even for them, it was a sin to make an offering away from the tabernacle when you couldn't bring it to the tabernacle. So you couldn't just be making sacrifices anywhere. Not even them. Exodus chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. So he gave them the stipulations of the contract. Don't have no other Elohim before me. Don't make an image of anything in the earth, above, beneath, or under the sea, that you would bow down to and worship. You should not have any of the Elohim before me. You should not take my name in vain. You're not going to come into relationship with me and dishonor the relationship. So he's given us the contract, because that's what those 10 instructions really are. They're the contract. But it's in now also, when these certain types of things come up, this is how I want you to judge. So it'd be different if he didn't say, if he didn't give you an instruction as to how to handle it. He didn't speak on that thing. Then you could say, well, you know, since you did it this way for this, I'm thinking you would do it this way for this. There are certain circumstances where that is true. And we are to do it within the spirit of the law. You know, our forefathers had a problem. And I still hear Hebrews do this. You will say something that is in the spirit of a law. And they'll say, I can't read that. No, you can't read that, but it's clear that this is what the Most High wants within the spirit of it. So our forefathers had a problem with this, and even today, we still got some people who have a problem with it because they don't seek out the spirit of the Most High to find out what is the intent of the law. They use it to try to clobber people, beat people down. But the Most High said that we are supposed to administer the law in love. We're supposed to be looking to help a person, and you're helping them when you're helping them out of sin. Trust me. Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou, by a Hebrew servant, different time, This is the culture. They could buy servants. If they went to war and they took enemies, they could take them and bring them into servitude. Because the alternative is you come and serve or you die. I'm sure there are many that chose to die. And then there were those that they loved life. And they're like, I'd rather serve. Okay? But he's got some, so we understand the different time. And this is, trust me when I say this, we're living in a different world right now. But it wasn't that different that long ago. We are 200 years or somewhere in that neighborhood out of slavery. Just one generation out of Jim Crow, institutional racism, and those things, some of those things still exist today, and they want to bring them back. So it's not too far away from what we're speaking of right now. But he gives us some commandments, some judgments, on when we what we are to do in these circumstances. And I said, you know, a long time ago, when you read this stuff and you read how the world treated the Hebrew Israelite, like the so-called Negro, wanted us to be in perpetual slavery. You know, they knew what the scripture said, but they made a choice that they wanted to keep us in perpetual slavery. There was a reason for that. Number one, they knew who we were. They know what the scripture says. Okay, so when we read it, I want you to understand, not everything is not, it didn't just happen. Okay, we got to understand what we are up against and that we have to have, the Most High won't let us be like the world is. Let's continue, because I'll go down a different rabbit hole with that one. These are my judgments, which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So however he became a servant, however, you know, I told this before, I went and looked this up. It is actually, you know, they did away with debtor's prison. They made it unconstitutional. In the U.S. and in a lot of countries, debtor's prison. You get into debt, you can't pay it, they put you in prison. You work it off, you work off the debt. Or you go into bondage to somebody who will pay your debt, and you work it off for them. That's the way the system works. Now, that system is illegal in most countries today. But this is the system that was in place during these times. So a male Hebrew slave, you could have him as a servant for no more than 6 years. And in the seventh year, you had to let him go. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Now, you know, when a man and woman get married, they are one. And typically, historically, what has happened, when the family got in debt, they could take the whole family into prison and make them work it off. And for a woman, a lot of times, she didn't end up in prison. She ended up in one of those houses, having to sell herself, having to serve men to work off that debt. That is just a fact of history. So the Most High said, if he came with a wife, and she's also, now, and I want us to understand, we couldn't be prostituting women. This was a different type of servitude than what we were put into and what a lot of nations have done. You know, if you go to Turkey or you go to Saudi Arabia or you go to India, you go to different places like that where this system is kind of still in place, Yeah, they would sell the woman into prostitute. And she would, that's how she got there. The husband would sell her into prostitution. He went and ran up debt. Couldn't pay it off. Rather than him going to jail, well, no, I'm going to sell my wife. These systems are still in place today. Okay, so we got to understand, this is not too far out of, we're not too far out of this or away from this. You even go to the wrong country thinking you're an American citizen and you do the wrong thing and their laws apply to you and you find yourself in prison or doing something that you had no intentions of doing. Either that or die. So you got to be very careful because this system itself is not totally out of the world. Okay, and this is, we're reading from the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. We're reading what the Most High said. These are my judgments. So man came up and said, hey, we don't agree with those. We're going to come up with a different system. But I want you to understand, this is not Moses' law. This is the Most High Elohim law. Let's continue. So if he was married, his wife will go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. This man is married to this woman. He's sleeping with her. They are making children. And he says, hey, you didn't come with her. I gave her to you. She doesn't belong to you. Any children you produce belong to the Most High. That man, not the Most High, but belong to that master. Let's continue. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master and my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. I mean, he's going to pierce his ear. And he shall serve him forever. Now, this is voluntary servitude. But again, I say it's different than what we experienced in slavery. Because this man and this woman are like family. They're servants, but they're still like family. And in this case, this man has chosen to stay in servitude. So we've got to understand that a lot of people, even in the world today, sell themselves into servitude for a time to better themselves. Because this person says, hey, if you come and serve me 5 years or 4 years or 3 years, whatever it is, if you come and serve me that long, then I will send you to college. You'll have a place to stay for free, and I will make sure you get a college education. And you will be better off than when you came. See, we look at this bondage, this bond maiden or this bond servant, we're looking at it from the eyes of American or Westernized slavery. It wasn't always that way. And in a lot of countries, it's still not that way. You have some people who are servants to a family that they are there because they are better off than what they were. They got a better living. They don't have to worry about, you know, the bills and stuff like that. They live in the home. And they choose that. But the slavery that the Hebrew Israelite was put through was a slavery unlike any other in history. It was, in all other slaveries, they were never perpetual. You could choose to be a perpetual slave, just like in this instance here. I'm going to be a servant for life. I choose that. But it was a choice. For us, it was, no, you don't have a choice. And not only that, we're not even going to treat you human. We're going to treat you like the beast of the field. We're going to rape your women. We're going to rape your boys. We're going to do whatever we want to with you. This was a completely different type of slavery. So this is what, you know, most of us, if you don't study this out, if you don't look at different cultures, if you don't look at past history, when you think slave and you automatically go to the slavery that we experienced, you would not be getting a complete picture. And you would not be getting the picture that the Most High is painting in the scriptures. Because if you're a righteous person, then you're not going to be doing unrighteous things. You're not going to be trying to misuse, not even your servant. They're a human being. They happen to work for you. They happen to, in this case, they belong to you. But you're not going to be abusing them because you own them. You're not going to be treating them like your dog because they're not a dog. But this is the mentality that the world took toward the African-American so-called Hebrew Israelite. Okay? So we got to understand that it was different. And when we think about these things and when we're looking at this in the scripture, we got to understand that it is a different type of mentality. So when we read these other things about the women, again, a different time. Same laws apply. I think it's not until the 1950s or the 60s, whenever women's rights took over in the U.S. and then spread through the world, that we see a change in this mentality. Okay? And women's rights are good. Up until the point that they're not. And I'm going to say that, and don't throw any rocks at me. With women's rights, equal rights, then we have the invention of the birth control pill. It's invented by a man, but that one invention changed the morals, changed the values of men and women everywhere. Because before that time, things were more so this way. And if a woman wasn't a virgin when she got married, there was still a time that was held in high esteem and high regard. But with the invention of the pill, then any of the, because women have, you know, let's be real. People have had sex outside of marriage from time memorial. Okay? But the thing was, is the only way people would actually really accuse you of that is if you got caught. And if you're not taking the pill, one of the ways you would get caught is you got pregnant. So people were sneaking and they were doing these things. But now here it is. We don't really have to sneak, and the woman doesn't have to sneak, and the woman doesn't have to worry about, I'm going to have a child that I really didn't want. And a lot of people get themselves into these situations. They have a child, they get pregnant, wasn't trying to get pregnant. The man don't really want to marry them. Now they have this child, or potentially have this child out of wedlock. There was a time society really frowned upon that. In our times, not so much so. So much to the point that, go look this up, in 1999, of the Hebrew Israelite or African American children, 98% were being born out of wedlock. This is what the pill did. And then this other spirit that the Most High put on us, another precept. So if we go back to what he says and we understand it from the standpoint of the Most High, I don't expect you to be running around, sleeping around. I don't expect you to be having children out of wedlock. I don't expect the men to be doing that either. But it was more so to protect the woman. Because, you know, you never know what some man might get in his eyes. Or she's serving, she's my bond servant, or she's my servant, and they are talking, they got a relationship, and then something happens. He's supposed to marry her. Okay, so the Most High, let's read these next verses. If a man sell his daughter, and you know, we can't, that's unthinkable for us today. I can never think about selling my daughter for anything. But if a man sell his daughter to be a maid servant, she shall not go out as the men servant do. If she please not her master, who has married her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her to a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her. Now, this man sold his daughter to be a bond servant, not to be this man's wife, not for him to be sleeping with her. Maybe he was deep in debt. He couldn't take care of her. They're going to be homeless. I don't know what the circumstances would be here. But he sells her into being a maid servant to clean and cook for this family. This man in this family takes her to be his wife. And then he deals deceitfully with her. Says, she don't make me happy, whatever the case may be, because as I study these things out, and then when you study, you know, the judgments that the Most High gave concerning this, why Moses gave divorce. Let's finish reading this, and then I'll go into this reason why Moses gave divorce, because it was never the intent of the Most High. And when you read these scriptures, you'll see that it was never his intent that people should get divorced, no matter how you got married. But let's read. So he has taken this young woman. She was sold to him to be a bond servant, a servant in his house. He has slept with her, made her, and took her to be a wife. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, you don't make me happy. Then her father, her family, could come back and redeem her. That means that they could buy her out of slavery. And he had no power, you know, I don't want you anymore, I'm just going to sell you off to the first person come by. He had no power to sell her to a strange nation. He had to sell her to another Hebrew family. Couldn't sell her to an Assyrian or to the Moabites or the Canaanites. It was beyond his power to do that. And if he have betrothed her, married her to his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. So now, how would you treat your daughter? This is how you're supposed to treat this bond servant. You marry her to your son, she becomes your daughter. She's just your daughter-in-law. And so you're supposed to treat her after the manner of daughters. Now that verse stands on itself. Verse 10 does not go with verse 9. Verse 10 actually goes with verse 8. If he take him another wife, and her food and her raiment and her duty of marriage shall not be diminished. Now, this is a provision that, remember, these are my judgments. So this man has a wife. He decides to take another wife. The duties to the first wife he can't diminish. You can't stop taking care of her. You can't stop providing food for her, putting a house, a roof over her head, her clothing, and your duty of marriage, sleeping with her. You can't stop that. What a lot of brothers today trying to do, they want multiple wives. They just going to take a wife that they can't buy her her food. They can't buy her her clothes. They can't put a roof over her head. They need her to make it themselves. Then they are in violation of the scripture, even trying. Because the truth of the matter is, the Most High said, his duty to her. He couldn't stop that. That's why I said yesterday, my wife has always had the option whether to work or not. And we never depended upon her income to do anything. It's my duty to provide the home. It's my duty to make sure she is clothed the way she wants to be clothed or the way I want her clothed. It's my duty to make sure that all these things are taken care of. The man, the Most High has put that duty on the man, and any man that cannot do that shouldn't be married. He wasn't able to take care of a wife to begin with. Now you want two or three, and you're not doing these things for the one? You are out of order. Now, in these cases, verse 11, if he do not leave three unto her, then she shall go out free without money. She's no longer a bondservant. She don't take nothing with her. She came with nothing. Basically, she's leaving with nothing. Now, if he, you know, the law says she was to go out with nothing. But if he was, this is my personal opinion here, then I'm going to state that this is my personal opinion, that if he was any kind of a righteous man and he knew what he had done and he didn't want to take care of her, that he wouldn't just throw her out with nothing. You know, I know this didn't work out, and I've been deceitful with you. Here is so much to help you get started. Or here's so much to go back to your family. But under the law, the Most High says she was to go out without money free. Under this same law, she would have been allowed to remarry. And I think we'll see that in Deuteronomy. But remember how she got there. She was a servant. This man took her to be a wife. And then said, no, I don't want you. Okay, different circumstance. All right, verse 12. He that smiteth a man, so that he die, shall surely be put to death. Today, don't matter how somebody kills someone, you know, they can get off on a technicality. Yeah, I took the person's life. Yeah, I did that to him. But the cop didn't read me my Miranda rights. Or I wasn't, you know, they did something on a technicality. They can get off. But the Most High says, if somebody takes a man's life intentionally with no just cause, it's murder and they're supposed to die. A life for a life. And if a man lie not in wait, but Elohim deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place where he shall flee. Now, if a man lie not in wait, he's not waiting to kill this person. But this is an enemy, and the Most High what? Delivered him into his hand? He says, then I will appoint a place where he shall flee. Now, again, this goes to also accidental death. You're chopping wood. You throw back the axe to bring it down on the wood, and the axe head comes off. flies through the air and kills somebody. You had no intentions of killing that person. And he says, I'm going to make a place for you to flee also. Okay? But if a man come presumptuously means that it's willful. You have thought on this thing and you have presumed that you're going to do it. Upon his neighbor, to slay him with guile. That means with some type of malice in your heart. Maybe they offended you in some type of way. They stepped on your toe in the club. And he just, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to go outside and I'm going to wait. And as soon as you come out here, I'm going to fill you full of lead because you stepped on my toe. Some nonsense, or this person just hateful. Thou shalt make, if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. So he got caught. It's proven that he did this with malice. He didn't have, you know, this person hadn't done anything to him worthy of death, worthy of him killing. He murdered them. So Most High says, I don't care if he's at the altar. I don't care if he's pleading for his life. He took a life with malice. He's supposed to forfeit his. He said, these are my judgments. Let's continue. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Now, this is a hard one for a lot of people. But the Most High says the only people you are supposed to fear, the only one you're supposed to fear is him and your parents. And if you do something to your parents that, like this, he says, if you smite your father, you hit your father or your mother, shall be surely put to death. Today we'll say, oh, they got a mental problem. The Most High said, yeah, they got a mental problem, and I know how to solve it. We'll say that doesn't have compassion. We'll say, you know, where is the love? That's what we would say. But what did the Most High say? And that's where the problem is. Because we might feel something different about the same thing. And we'd be like, I don't know. This is what Israel did. You know, like I said, when I read it in Romans chapter 8, I was like, wow. He's talking about us. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. He's just flat out said, I said to do this, you chose to do something else. You said that your judgment was more righteous than mine. Let's keep moving. He that stealeth a man and sells him, or he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. All of those slavers who call themselves Christian, they probably never read the Old Testament, I guess. But the truth of the matter is, this is why we can't treat the Gentile nations like they treated us. Our laws don't allow it. But in their laws, hey, they could do whatever they wanted to us. But we won't be allowed to do the same thing. If we were caught stealing one of them, according to the Most High, if you got caught stealing a man, that's kidnapping. You're supposed to die. That's even kidnapping somebody, you know, you don't intend to enslave them. You're going to hold them for a ransom, or you don't have legal custody of them and you're going to steal your child. Legally, you don't have custody. Your child, but the law would consider you to be stealing a person. The Most High said you're supposed to die. So we got a lot of people doing a lot of things in the world that we say we're Christians or we say we're believers in the Most High Elohim, but are we really? And we say, well, is that deserving of death? He didn't kill them. The Most High said it didn't matter if he killed them or not. He stole them. A man, a person, a woman, a child. That was an automatic death sentence. Now, the thing is, and the reason why I'm doing this way is, how much of this is in the new covenant? The Most High never changed these things. We did. Let's continue. And if a man strive together, fight together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keeps his bed, so he wounded this man. And if he rise again and walk abroad, walks around on his staff, then he shall that smote him, that hit him, be quiet. He will be innocent. He won't be charged with trying to kill this man because he didn't die. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So whatever time he's losing, because, you know, he's laid up, he can't work, you're responsible for that time. If he's got headaches, needs to go to the doctor for however long as it can be tied to you hitting him, you're supposed to pay to make him thoroughly healed. Sometimes that could be a lifetime. And if a man smite his servant, this person he owns, or his maid, with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. He owns this person, but he took a life. A life for a life. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, if the servant continue a day or two, he didn't die right away, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. He bought this person. But you're going to find out later on that, hey, if he broke anything, if he broke a tooth, an arm, a leg, if he, however he hurt them, then he was supposed to let them go free. Let them go free. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, she loses her child, and yet no mischief follow. You know, this wasn't intended. It's an accident. He shall surely be punished according to as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. So the woman's husband say, hey, I want $10,000 or I want $50,000, then that's what he would have to pay because there was no mischief. It's an accident. So whatever, however the father and the mother felt like they could be, you know, they could be paid for their grief. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. So this wasn't an accident. You're trying to break in. The woman walked up on him and saw him. They hit her in the stomach. She lost the baby. The baby died. They were supposed to die. A life for a life. Not go to prison for 10 or 20 years. The sentence was life. Was their life. They were to die. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So the law is putting limitations. I cut off your toe by accident. You want retribution. You want to get me back. But you want my life. The Most High said, no. a toe for a toe, a foot for a foot, an eye for an eye. If you took a life for a life. If a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let them go free for their eye's sake. So just like when earlier we were reading the verses where they were beating the servant or they hit the servant and the servant didn't die, if they broke something, if they hit them, you know, hit them in a way or to a point that they damaged them, then they were to let them go free because of the damage that they caused. Their debt is free to them. They don't owe them anymore. Whatever it was. If he smite out his manservant tooth or his maidservant tooth, he shall let them go free for the tooth's sake. They have paid the price. Whatever they owed, you keep the tooth or you keep the eye, I'm no longer in debt to you. Go out free. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be innocent. Why? Maybe he didn't know this ox had the propensity to gore somebody. Maybe this person was messing with the ox, made him mad, and he gored him to death. Still, the ox got to die because he took the life of a man. But the owner of that ox in that situation is innocent. But if the ox were wont to push, known to push with his horn in time past, and it has been testified to his owner, he knew about it, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So that's your animal. You knew that it had the propensity to gore people. It's gotten after some people in the past or gored somebody in the past. It didn't kill them. But you knew that it would do it, and you didn't tie him up. You let him run around the property, and now he has killed somebody. You're going to die too. The animal going to die, and you're going to die too. You're responsible. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. So in this case, an ox gores me to death, okay? It's your ox. He gores me to death. Rather than having you put to death, my wife says, hey, if you got $20,000, I'll call it good. I wasn't happy with him anyway. You pay the $20,000, it's all good. You don't get killed. You don't have the $20,000, then if she settled with you for less, then it was all good. If you can't pay and she cannot be redeemed, then, or she won't take it, it's not enough or whatever, then you're supposed to die. Now, these are not Brother Miles' words, what the example is, but these are the words of the Most High. These are his judgments. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto the master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall in therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give the money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. Now again, in these things, we don't have oxen. We might again, who knows, might get a farm, have cattle, do whatever. But we don't have oxen in these things, so we have to be looking for the principle behind the law. In other words, if you cause damage to something by your actions, You dig a hole in the middle of the road, I drive into it, total my car. You're supposed to replace my car, and my old car is yours. That's what he's saying. You cause damage, whatever you cause damage to, if it was an animal or other property, then you were to replace that property, and that other property that you damaged became yours. That's the principle behind it. If one man's ox hurts another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it. And the dead ox also, they shall divide. If it be known that the ox has used to push in time past and his owner has not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox. And the dead shall be his own, shall belong to him. So again, we got two oxes out there. Maybe they're both males. Maybe they're full of testosterone. It's the rutting season or whatever. One kills the other. Then they're supposed to divide, sell the live ox and divide the dead ox. And if, you know, with some other circumstance and the ox, one man's ox was known to just be one to try to kill everything and he didn't control it, he says, okay, the dead ox is yours and you're going to buy this other man a new ox. So he could give him, you know, he probably wouldn't want the ox that was known for goring. No, you just need to buy me another ox. You can have the dead one. Again, this is the principle behind it. We don't have oxen. So if we came upon this situation where it was a dog, and my dog, you know, they're playing around, and my dog killed your dog. Well, I don't even want to use that because we don't eat dogs, because the oxen, they could eat. They could split it and eat it. We don't eat dogs, so leave that example out. Okay, we won't use that one. Now, the reason behind this is, and I really do think that this is also a test from the Most High to prove us. You don't agree with that? Let me see if you're going to do what I say to do. Let me see if you're going to be obedient or whether you're going to do what you want to do. These are my judgments. Exodus chapter 22. If a man shall steal an ox, or a sheep, and kill it, or sell it, he shall restore five oxen, or four sheep, for a sheep. So if somebody takes something from you, they steal it from you, in this case it's live, but I think the principle is the same, and they sell it, or they kill it, let's bring this one into something we can relate to. You are a pet owner. And you got your pet. Somebody steals it. And then they sell it. Or they kill it. Either way, you can't get it back. It's dead or it's sold and gone off to other parts of the world or the U.S., whatever. But the person got caught who did it. Then they're supposed to restore to you five or four times. So if we, you know, equated it to money, you had a full-blood German Shepherd, somebody stole him from you, sold him or they killed him, because maybe the dog wasn't being really cooperative with them, and, you know, they killed him, or they sold him to somebody. Either way, you can't get the dog back. You say, hey, the dog was valued at $800. You can say, hey, I want 8 times 5. I want $4,000. You're supposed to make it good. That was a full-blooded dog. You had a half cocker spaniel and a half poodle, a cocker poodle. Wasn't a full-blooded dog, but you loved the dog and somebody stole it. They sold them or they killed them. You couldn't get the dog back, but it was proven that this person stole them. They're not full-blooded, so you say, hey, I want 4 times the amount. They were worth $400, I want 4 times, you need to give me $1,600. This is what the Most High said, how we would judge in these things, in the spirit of it. If a thief be found breaking up, that means they're breaking in, and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood shed for him. This thief got caught in the act, got killed. That iniquity is on that thief. No blood shall be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So you didn't kill him. He didn't die. Sun came up on him. He lived. Then he's supposed to make restitution for breaking in. You know, the window cost this much. You broke this lamp and this stuff when you came in. And for my fear and stuff, it's this much. Make restitution. And if he can't make restitution, then he's supposed to be sold for his theft. Now, yeah, I'll leave that at that. Verse 4. If the thief be certainly found, or the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox, an ass, or a sheep, he shall restore double. In this case, let's say they stole your dog, or they stole the radio, whatever they stole. It's found in their hand. That means you got it back. They still got to pay restitution. In this case, double. So, yeah, you took my dog. It was worth $800. You got to give me $1,600. You took my radio. It was worth $200. You got to give me $400 for that. Supposed to make restitution. Even if you got your stuff back. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. So, I'd have to think how we would apply that today. But the bottom, I guess the principle behind this, if we're not farmers, if let's put it this way. We're neighbors. You got a dog. Your dog comes over, and I got some prized flowers or a vegetable garden or whatever. And your dog comes and digs it up. Then you're to make restitution of me of the best of what you have. If you don't have, a vineyard, if you don't have a garden, then we're going to have to put a value to it. And the value is going to be whatever I said the value is, if it's my garden, because you don't have anything to compare to it. So you would probably turn to something monetary. Then we would have to more than likely... If I said, hey, I want $400, you say, hey, that wasn't worth $400, and we'd have to take it to the judges. And whatever the judges said, that's what we both would have to abide by. I might have said it's worth $400, and the judge said, no, it's only worth $2. And he still might think that's too high, but he'd have to abide by what the judge said, and I would have to abide by what the judge said. But the restitution has to be made. If he had a garden, then the best of his garden. You know, don't give me the plants that are dying. Don't give me the fruit that's falling on the ground and you don't want it. You know, it's starting to rot. Give me the best out of your garden. Give me the best out of your vineyard. To make restitution for what your animal destroyed in mines. So the principle is, I want to make this good. Yeah, I'm at fault. I want to make it good. I'm going to give you the best that I have to make it good. Are you satisfied? You got to be satisfied because that's all I got. I made restitution. I gave you my best. I don't have a garden to make restitution. I don't have a vineyard to make restitution. Will you take $300? No, that's not enough. Or will you take $400? No, that's not enough. Well, you know, I don't think it's worth more than $400, so we're going to have to take it to the court and see what the court says. And then we both have to abide by that decision. Now, what we're going to read someplace else, I can't remember exactly where this scripture is at. But if we take this thing to court, and one of us, whichever one of us, don't agree with the decision of the court and we want to make a fuss about it, guess what was supposed to happen? You can guess. You're supposed to die. Put to death for arguing with the court. We'll read it somewhere in here, I'm sure. I just can't remember where that scripture is at. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stack of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So, again, we're in a situation where somebody starts a fire. Doesn't really have to be with stacks of corn or anything like that. They start a fire. Your stuff gets burnt up. Then whoever started the fire is supposed to make restitution to you for starting the fire. Whatever that is supposed to be worth. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to be kept, to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. In other words, you said somebody stole it, but we ain't find no thief. Maybe you being covetous. We're going to take it to the court to see if you put your hands to my stuff. See if they can find out. Whether, you know, because you know that if you get busted, it's going to be a world of hurt. It's going to be reputation and all this kind of stuff. So you might crack or you might say something that lets somebody know that, well, wait a minute, what you just said, you lying. If they can't prove you lied, then, you know, your stuff is just gone. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for an ox, for an ass, for a sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn or find guilty, he shall pay double to his neighbor. And if a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, any beast to keep or to die or be hurt or driven away, and no man seeing it, nobody saw this happen, then shall an oath of Yah be between them both. We're going to swear on the Bible, swear on the Torah. We're going to take an oath between you and I and the Most High that I didn't do this thing. That he has not put his hand unto his neighbor's good. The owner of it shall accept thereof that oath. and he shall not make it good. The person who said, hey, your stuff came up missing, and nobody saw what happened, and I'm going to swear to you on the Most High, I didn't do it. Then that person is supposed to take that oath, because you shouldn't be taking it, you know, shouldn't be swearing on the Most High easily. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. So nobody saw what happened to it. Not going to say you're guilty of it, but you don't have it. You need to make restitution for it. If he be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witnesses. So if you say, hey, I don't have your stuff anymore, and an animal actually tore it to death, tore it to pieces, killed it, if it was another, you know, an ox or a sheep or whatever, he's supposed to bring the proof, in other words. Let them bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. You know, it was out of his control. If a man borrow out of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So I loaned you something. You broke it. You make it good. You pay for it. But now I'm coming with it, and I'm letting you use it, or I'm renting it to you. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for us a hire. So I'm with whatever I loaned you. Maybe I'm helping you use it. Maybe I'm not. But it broke. But because I was letting you use it, I want you to pay for it. The Most High said, no. You were with it. You see that it wasn't. He didn't break it intentionally. He did what, you know, it wasn't on purpose. Your thing just got broke. And then if you hired it out to me, then I still don't have to pay you anything. Why? Because you got paid for it. So it was a chance that it could get broken. The money that you rented it for, that's your payment. It's yours. You still keep the money, but that's your payment. If it costs $1,000 and you were renting it to me for $100, then I don't have to pay you the $1,000. To replace it. Whatever it was that you rented it to me for, that's how much it's going to cost me. Okay? Because it's not like I was, you know, intensely trying to break it. If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, betrothed means that she's engaged to be married, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be, she's not betrothed, so she's not engaged to be married. He shall surely endow her to be his wife. Endow doesn't mean to ask for your hand in marriage. Endow means that there's money involved. There's a dowry involved. This was to be paid to her father, her family. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Now, again, I have to go to the Most High and really ask for clarification on this, because her father refused to give her to him to be a wife. He said that he was to still pay the dowry of virgins, whatever that was. And then was he to take her to be his wife? I have to honestly say, I don't know in this case. By her father refusing to transfer headship, because that's what's going on here. While she's unmarried, her father is her head. When a woman gets married, headship transfers from the father to her husband. This father has refused. The man still has to pay her dowry I don't know if the father had to let her go and be his wife, or if the dowry was to take care of her, because now she surely can't prove she's a virgin. Anybody else coming to marry her is going to be a problem. So maybe this was to help her father take care of her, see to her, I guess for as long as he lived. I really have to go before the Most High on this particular ruling, because trying to roll it around in my mind, I've asked the Most High on this one, I still don't have an answer for it. Was he supposed to give his daughter? The man paid the dowry of a virgin. He had slept with her. Or was the answer no, and this money stayed with the father to take care of this girl? I have to say, in this case, I don't have a clear answer. I have to find it someplace else in the scripture. So I don't know on Exodus 22 and 17. I don't know exactly how we would apply that. But I'm sure that it's somewhere in the scripture, and the Most High will provide the answer. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Plain and simple. Practicing witchcraft, death sentence. Got these people out here reading palms and doing all this kind of stuff. Death sentence. Whosoever liveth with a beast, whosoever lies with a beast, shall surely be put to death. You having sex with the animals, supposed to die. Male or female, supposed to die. Point blank. And probably that animal as well. Be put to death. He that sanctifies or sacrifice, wow, need to hold my glass. He that sacrifice unto any Elohim, save unto Yah. He that sacrifices unto another Elohim, except for Yah, and Yah only, he shall surely utterly be destroyed. He shall be utterly destroyed, put to death. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, nor oppress him. You were strangers in a land of in the land of Egypt. You know what it's like to be a stranger in a land. So if you got strangers in your land, be treated like you wanted to be treated. The Most High says you're not going to vex them. You're not going to oppress them. You're going to treat them with hospitality. You're going to treat them with kindness. You shall not afflict any widow or the fatherless, the needy, the people who don't have anybody else to count on. Now, the scripture, a widow indeed, was not just a woman who lost her husband. If she had children, she wasn't considered to be a widow indeed. She's a widow, but she has other people she can count on, that she can rely on, or supposed to be able to rely on. The fatherless, you know, these are children who maybe they're in orphanages. They got somebody overlooking them, but they still are at the mercy of society. He says, don't afflict them. If thou afflict them in any way, any way, and they cry out at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. The Most High has an ear for the afflicted, for those who are less fortunate, for those who are alone in the world, don't have anybody for them. He has a special ear for them. He says, if they cry out to me, I will hear it, and I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. So It may be a car accident. It may be a disease that comes on you that you weren't supposed to get, but because you are afflicting this widow or these fatherless children, he says, now I'm going to avenge them. Somebody breaks into your house and kills you. You're walking down the street to the bus stop and a stray bullet hits you. And people say, it was just an accident. It was, it was just out of nowhere. It was an act of God. You hear people say that. And sometimes they don't know how true that is because of what they were doing and been doing. The Most High says he will avenge them. He says, now your wife is going to be a widow. And if you got children, your children are going to be fatherless. I'm going to make them what you came against. He will avenge. So he has a special place. If they don't have anybody to defend them, I will defend them. And if I defend them, whatever their situation was, is about to enter into your family. She was a widow. Now your wife going to be a widow. They were fatherless. Your children are now about to be fatherless. I will avenge them, and I will make it eye for an eye. They're fatherless. You took advantage of them. Your children are going to be fatherless. She was a widow, and you went to take advantage of her. Now your wife about to be a widow. Most I don't play. So I'll make it even. So we've got to understand these are his judgments. Some of the things, as I said, we have a hard time applying them today, and we have to look at the principle behind that law. What is the principle behind it? What is the spirit behind it? We know it's the spirit of the Most High, but what I mean by what is the spirit behind it is what is the intent of that law? What is the purpose that the Most High intend for it to cover? And we got to do it according to his judgments, not ours. Because, you know, we might come up and say, Most I got death for everything. Again, how would he judge in this matter? So I have a question I want you to consider before we stop for this evening. I want you to go to the book of Revelation. I think it's chapter 2. Just let me find this verse. Okay, I need to search for it. It's not there where I thought it was. Yeah, it isn't, Revelation. I didn't read down far enough. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 2. I want everybody to go there with me because I want us to read this together. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 25. So actually starting in verse 26. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 26. And he that overcometh, now he's talking to us. And he that overcometh and keep my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he, verse 27, that overcometh, is who we're still talking about, shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. What is Messiah saying here? Everybody that overcomes and rules with him is going to be given power over the nations. And everybody that overcomes and rules with him must rule with a rod of iron, just like he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That rod of iron, go back and review the laws that we have reviewed so far. If transgression for those things is death, that is ruling with a rod of iron. You transgress. I'm not taking it easy on you. The penalty is stiff. It's death. And if you're going to rule with him, you must also rule the same way. You can't have one standard and he have another. So I want you to consider this, that if you overcome and you're obedient and you obey my voice and you keep my commandments, you're going to rule the nation. I'm going to give you power over the nation. And you shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. This is what you got to understand. As I say, people, they don't understand the Most High Elohim that we serve. If you are wicked, he's not playing with you. He's not going to have mercy. Your mercy needs to be gotten now while you can get it. And straighten yourself out so that you're not in need of mercy. So that he can give you grace. Welcome into my kingdom. I don't have to have mercy on you because you stopped doing what you were doing and you start obeying my voice. To all those who don't obey his voice, they need mercy. But I can show you in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9, he says, I'm not going to have mercy. I shall not have mercy. When he comes to judge, he's coming to judge. And he says, I'm not having mercy when I come to judge. And so anybody, his elect, you cannot rule with him and have a different judgment than he has. I want you to hear this. Because not Brother Miles saying this. You shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. And you shall dash them to pieces. Somebody get out of line, the judgment for that is death, it comes swiftly. Comes fast, it comes quick. Understand, because the Elohim that you have been painted is not the Elohim that's in this book. And we have taken his love and his kindness and his mercy, and we have administered it, and we have tried to require it of him in a way that he's not going to give it. This is the Elohim you don't want to see. because I'm coming, and you thinking I'm coming to dry up tears. The time ain't now. I'm going to be drying those tears for mine. But for the wicked, I ain't got no love for them at all. And you can't have no love for them at all. I say that they do X is death. I expect you to carry it out with a swiftness. Because we're going to put away all this foolish stuff. And they may not fear me now, but you're going to fear me then. Even now, I'll find the scripture that tells you, kiss the Son and don't make him angry a little bit. Don't even make him angry a little bit. It's not, they're not going to tell you this about Messiah. I have to find that verse. I'll have it next time. I want us to understand we cannot rule or judge differently than what he judges. We cannot rule with him and not rule with a rod of iron, because he said that's what you're going to have to rule with. And these nations who thought that they could rule themselves, who thought that they knew better than I did, you're going to smash them to pieces because their thought process is wrong. They should have said, let them be a liar and I be true. So I want you to understand what the Most High is showing me. I'm showing you. His judgment that we can't wrap our mind around. He says, those are my judgments. And you can't rule another way. I'm going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and so are you. If not, you can't rule with me. So consider those matters. Can't come up with your own system. Can't come up with your own set of righteousness. You're going to rule like he rules. You're going to carry out the judgments exactly as he says they should be carried out. And when you read in Torah, every example we have, it wasn't no kangaroo court. It wasn't no drawn-out court. When the person was found guilty, the sentence was carried out right away. Wasn't no appealing. Wasn't no being tied up in the court for years. Judgment was right away. Sentencing was right away. It was carried out right away. So I want us to understand that. We're reading these things. And I know we haven't been taught this. I was never taught this. But if we want to make it in the last days, you cannot be double-minded. You cannot have your own opinion over the Most High. You can choose him or not choose him. That's your choice. That's our choice. But don't get an ideal in your mind that, you know, I'll have the opportunity to rule like I want to rule. No, you won't. You will find yourself in judgment. If you come with that opinion. But I just wanted to show us so that, as we're reading the covenant, that you don't get a misunderstanding of the Most High. That you don't get a misunderstanding of Messiah. Just like I showed you in the book of Luke. Messiah going to say, and all those people who didn't want me to rule over them, bring them here and let me pat them on the head. Bring them here and let me give them a jail sentence and probation. No, that bring them here and kill them before me. You knew I was a so-and-so man. An austere man. You knew I was rough. Why is it that people don't know that Messiah is rough? Because he came in kindness? Because he came with love? He died for us? And people think he's coming back that way? He's not. He's not coming back that way. He said to himself, all you who don't want me to rule over you, you're going to come before me. I'm going to have you killed before me. Because you didn't want me to rule over you. So you don't want to accept me? This is the cure. This is the remedy. Why? No pastor, no teacher. Why they didn't teach us this stuff? Why these verses seem to get left out? Why is the real word not being taught to us? Wasn't taught to us. We got this picture of the Most High that I'm telling you that it is a false picture. The Elohim that we say we serve, he does not play at all. That's why he says, and people think that because judgment is not coming right away, they think that I'm slack. The Most High is making a space for mankind to repent and turn to him before that day. Because when he comes, we're not going to see that side of him during the millennial kingdom. We're not going to see that loving and kind part of him until the 1,000 years is up and he removes all the wicked from the world, where he gives those that get that chance during the millennial reign to come to him, and they choose to disobey. I want you to read it in the word. They choose to come against him. He's been ruling them with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, and they rebel. Now I'm going to say it this way. We have been ruling with him 1,000 years, and they come against us in rebellion. And he draws down fire from heaven on them. Burns them up like that. He says, all right, you've all had a chance. You've proven yourself who you will follow, who you won't follow. All you who wouldn't follow me, now let's have the judgment. Let's have the white throne judgment. Everybody's name's written in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, going to the kingdom, where there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more wickedness. All of you who were wicked, bind them and throw them into the lake. So you can't rule separately from him. And what I read in this book and what he gives me visions about, people have been playing with the Most High, and he ain't to be played with. He ain't to be trifled with. They take his love and kindness as a weakness. And he's not weak by any measure of the word. So I want us to know. He said, these are my judgments. You might be feeling some kind of way. I'm telling you, put your personal feelings away. You say you serve the Most High Elohim, you better get on his page. And don't expect him to get on yours. You think that your judgments are more righteous than his? Then you're going to make the same mistake our forefathers made. Because what I just read to you in Revelation, that should take all doubt out of your mind. How are you going to be able to rule with him? You're not going to be able to be that kind and push around, huggy type of king and reign with him. Because the Most High is coming to deal with all the wickedness that is in the world. And anybody that is wicked, he's dealing with them. And not in a nice way. Oh, you can repent. No, you can't repent now. If I put you over that nation and they give you any grief, they break any of my commandments, I don't expect you to come up with your own standards and your own judgments. I expect you to carry out the judgment that I have already given. The Most High we serve is not a wuss. He's not playing in any kind of manner. Men, women, people have taken his love and kindness, his long-suffering and his patience, have taken it for a weakness. And he's by no means weak. But I want each and every one of you to understand. You can't rule like this. This is not for you. He's not for you. I'm going to just put it plainly. He's not for you. Because you cannot be different than him. And you cannot say, well, the Most High has to accept me on my terms the way that I am. He says, no, I have already told you what I want. I've already spelt it out. I'm already telling you if you overcome, and I'm going to put you over the nations, the scripture is already written of me that I'm going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And I'm telling you because in Revelation, that is Messiah talking. He's telling you, if you overcome, I'm going to give you rulership over the nations, and you shall rule them with a rod of iron. You can't rule separate and different than I'm going to rule. You're not going to be sending that mixed message. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. So I want you to understand that every man be a liar and the Most High be true. Believe what you're reading and know that it's going to be that way. In the millennial kingdom, because it's not until after that kingdom of bliss, that kingdom of blessings, that kingdom of no death, no sorrow, no sickness. It's not until that 1,000 years after the millennial reign, Messiah's reign, that one day reign, 1,000 years. I'm going to give these people 1,000 years to get their stuff straight. And if any of them up under my rulership think to act stupid, judgment is coming swiftly. So while the Most High is having mercy, and that mercy is not for you to keep messing up and keep needing mercy, not what it's for. His mercies are renewed every day because somebody new is born and messes up every day. But we as his people and we as the world, you won't read in this book that you keep to get messing up. He says if you fall down, if you do something ignorantly, that's falling down. That's messing up and getting forgiveness and having mercy because you did it ignorantly. Nowhere are you going to read in this book, and the more he shows me and the more I understand, nowhere are you going to be able to commit willful sin and think that you're going to get away with it. Think that he's going to be, oh, you're only human. You're going to only be dead. And people don't like to hear that about the Most High, but it is the Most High. So I pray that we can see this. I pray that we take to heart. Excuse me. I pray that we take it to heart. And what he said are his judgments are his judgments. Whether you or I like it or not, you're not going to change him. So whether you agree with it or not, whether I agree with it or not, whether any man disagrees with it or not, is here nor there. He says, I created you. I am all knowing. And I'm telling you, these are my judgments in these situations. Now you go and judge differently and see what happens. Let's bow our heads. We are over the time. Father. Father, we hear your word. We know that mankind is stiff-necked and hard-hearted. We know that you have a standard, Father, that you will not compromise. You have said that these things will be done. And you have said that if we want to be with you, if we want to rule with you, we must judge the same way that you judge. We must rule with a rod of iron just like you do. Father, we are caught up in our emotions, in our feelings. Help us to be strong in you. Help us to have your mind. Help us to be compassionate where compassion is deserved. You determine where these things are deserved and where they're not. Your standard is simple, Father. Obey you or not obey you. There is no in-between. Father, we hear your voice. Help us to obey you in all things. Let us see what we need to see, to know, and to be converted to your standards and your ways. Because they clearly are not our ways. We just want to be pleasing to you. Father, whatever it takes, I pray that you touch each and every person, that you give them a mind and a heart to understand. They may not understand and they may not know why you judge the way that you judge, but it is your judgment and we are not even to question it. Help us wherever we need it, Father. You know. You can look into our hearts. Show us, if it be your desire, why it is so. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. I'm glad that the Most High is allowing me to see this. I can't speak for anybody else, but I am glad that he's allowing me to see it, because I don't want to be contrary to the Most High. I don't want to study his word and say that I follow him all my life and then turn up to be contrary to him because I got my own opinion. But more and more and more and more, I see why he says, many are called, few are chosen. I don't know that everybody can choose this. I don't know that everybody can rule with a rod of iron. I don't know that everybody can put it within themselves to hate wickedness, truly to hate it. And to hate evil, because that's what he does. He hates wickedness and he hates evil. And those things are defined by him. So I pray that we can be of his mind. Because he's not playing. And he's not going to allow you to play. As we prepare to depart for the evening, on tomorrow morning, we're going to be kind of in the same vein, but I want to look at some issues that we particularly suffer with today. Again, should not be a surprise, but I really do believe that it is our obedience to his voice that is the only cure for us. No matter what we are going through, no matter what we have been through, the root cause was disobedience and not obeying his voice. So the fix can only be obeying his voice. Want your situation to turn around? Obey his voice. Want to be healed? Obey his voice. Want to be blessed? Obey his voice. Want to get rid of those demons? Obey his voice. I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that is our cure. But we're suffering from some things that, you know, we got to understand and find out in the word of Yahweh what he says concerning it and obey his voice. So may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep each and every one of you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High Elohim. And his love is a perfect love. A perfect love. Until tomorrow morning, family. Shalom.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise. can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Shabbat, I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just